Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
And hello, everybody. Oh, Chuck is joining us late. Welcome.
It's the Chuck and Julie Show. Chuck Milo.
People can't hear. The Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, Truth Straight Up. Thank you, Chuck, for joining the show today.
For the intro.
The show brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. All kinds of stuff to unpack today. A lot going on, but wanted to start with bringing in Darcy Schoenig with the Colorado Republican Party, who is, I have to say, probably one of the hardest working women in the Colorado Republican Party. And there are plenty of them out there, and men. She's been out curing ballots.
And they're all at the Big Ten Party.
That's right. But, you know, as we were saying Friday, the liberal media, the Kyle Clarks, even some of the establishment rhinos were like, oh, see, Colorado, there was no red shift in Colorado, but more blue, blue, blue. And as we mentioned on Friday, that's a complete and utter total lie. In the meantime, tons of things have happened, all great. So I wanted to bring Darcy in because she's got the latest information. Darcy, so hey,
Darcy,
thank you for taking time out of curing ballots to join us.
Thanks for having me.
So start with that. So going for Colorado, let's talk about some of the flips, because there have been, no matter what you're reading in the liberal or progressive or even Anschutz media, there has been a huge red shift in Colorado. So tell us about it.
So the media is definitely lying, saying that we went bluer or that there was no red shift. I think the only data they're basing that on is looking at certain counties and saying, okay, this county went less for Trump than they did in the previous cycle. But that's not a good metric. So we have taken back, as of right now, Senate 13, which was Priola's seat, was reclaimed by Republican Scott Bright. He's an excellent candidate. House District 50 was flipped. That's
for the first time in over 20 years,
I'd say. And Ryan Gonzalez, you got to give it to Ryan. I mean, he's run several times now, and he just kept saying, one of these years, I'm going to win. Well, this was his year. So we're so happy for Ryan. He's a great, really good conservative, nice guy. So he will perform well in his seat. And then House District 19, that was the one that was redistricted, and Dan Woob lost in the last cycle. Dan Woob's now ahead. So, he is ahead by, it's down to under 100 now. So they are curing ballots in Dan Woob's district. So if you can get up to Weld or get in contact with Dan or Hunter Rivera, they are curing ballots, but Dan should, we're confident Dan's going to pull this off. And then same with Rebecca Kelty in House District 16 down here in the Springs. And Kelty's running against Stephanie Vigil, who's a far left communist. She's the one that wrote the bill to change kids' names in school behind their parents' backs.
So, and here's, and then not to mention CD8.
CD8.
Right? Not to mention that we flipped a board of education in CD8, right? So now we have a much closer, rather than being 6-3, it's 4-5, right?
That's, yeah, 4-5. And that's a huge deal, because sometimes some of the Democrats on the board of education aren't as anti-charter, aren't as anti-parental rights as you would think. They tend to be a little more moderate, a few of them. So that majority shifting to a more narrow margin is really, really ideal. We also took an RTD seat, I forgot to mention.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Kathleen Chandler took a district RTD.
I don't agree with Kathleen Chandler all the time, but I like her.
Right.
I like her. And also, I think a Pueblo County Commissioner seat.
A Pueblo County Commissioner seat, a Huerfano County Commissioner seat. I'm in the process of going through all the commissioner seats right now. Obviously, it was a little more important to focus on curing for the last couple days.
Right.
Yeah. But now that we're through that, in the next day or two, I should be able to get you a total. I'm just, you know, like I said, going down and seeing which seats we flipped locally. But that also looks really, really good. So this nonsense of Colorado went more blue is just crazy.
Well, if you look at percentages of voting in 2020, Republicans lost the presidential one by 13 and a half points. This time, they still lost, but it was 11 points. So they gained 2.5 points. That's huge. I mean, if we keep on at least, instead of constantly getting worse and doing a Dick Wadhams on ourselves, we've improved, cut it down, and it's amazing. What's also amazing is how we've started to learn how to collect ballots after begging for 4 years now. At least in CD8, we did it. Now, it's expensive to do it. It's tough. You can't leave it to just volunteers, because some volunteers will be great, other ones will be awful. But it's fantastic that we're starting to do it. And we're really cutting into their margins. And what do you think we would have been if it wasn't for the traitorist Todd Watkins and all the other ones taking all the money up of the Republican Party all the time and everything else for their worthless effort to get somebody like Eli Bremer to be party chair?
It killed us. I mean, if they hadn't drained the state party coffers by the totals up to, I don't even know, 160, 70, whatever it is, there would have been a really decent amount of money for candidates. And, you know, I want to add that in KBB's administration, Jeff Hayes, all of them, give the state party giving money directly to candidates was never really a thing. That has only been mentioned once Dave became chair, because
they don't do that. I think, and that's fair to say, never have that. Well, maybe not never, but as far as we've been involved in politics, the Republican Party is not the main funder for a candidate.
No, it changed. I've been involved.
You've been in politics longer than me.
They, as they always do with ballot measures, they took a ballot measure and they quote unquote reformed it so that very little went to the parties. So before, parties could raise large amounts of money so they could give to candidates. Then they cut it back so much that they couldn't give to candidates.
So there's no point.
There's no point. Well, it's not no point, but it's very hard. There's not enough money that can be given to the party to give out to the ones. But it's
The rhinos. No, and I want to emphasize, though, too, some of the things you said, because these weren't just races that we flipped. These were races that were significant. I mean, so CD8, I mean, adding another congressional Republican, that's huge, right?
Yeah, well, we're probably only going to have at most a 3, 4, maybe 5 seat margin. So, you know, this is unbelievably important.
And back with the Senate race, retaking Senate District 13, the Democrats were hopeful to get a supermajority into the Colorado Senate. So this prevented them from doing that. And even further, by flipping HD 50, HD 16, maybe what you said, HD 13, the 19, the House supermajority for the Democrats in Colorado could be on the way out the window, too. And I mean, you know, so that's also huge. I mean, so these are huge. These have the way that you guys were able to flip seats. These aren't insignificant. This has a huge impact on what goes on at the state capitol, I think.
Oh, it's huge. I mean, even just talking to organizations like Moms for Liberty that I work really closely with, it's like this is going to make a huge difference, because, I mean, just getting a couple of those far left legislators out, being able to have it, it'll change even the makeup of some of the committees. So it is, I mean, that's so key to where those bills start and progress and die. So it will be in a lot better position than we were 2 years ago. I will say that we had really hoped to take Senate 12. That was Bob Gardner's seat. That's down here in Colorado Springs. That was taken by Mark Snyder, former state representative, Democrat state representative. I would say that of all of the races, the statewide races in Colorado, that was the one that, you know, we, especially myself, really thought if we could get any money there because of how much the Democrats are putting, we could probably salvage this district. So when the lawsuits all transpired, I would say that Senate 12 was the most negatively impacted. So we're lucky that we took 13. Or we would be in the super minority.
Well, and let's be clear, the rhinos who tried to take over the party wasted time, energy, money.
Yeah.
And that was their intention, right?
Yeah.
Their intention was, and it's kind of funny when you look on social media, it's like before when it looked like when the liberal media was all screaming, oh, Colorado is more blue, they were all like, oh, that's Dave's fault. That's on Dave. Now that the actual numbers are coming in and the data is coming in and we're seeing that, no, actually Colorado shifted red, just like everybody else. They're like, well, that's not up to Dave. Dave didn't have anything. Am I right? It's like, they're like, no, that had nothing to do with Dave. It's
You're 100% right. I mean, that was the narrative that started being sent out Tuesday. And it was very negative towards Dave. And it was coming from all the same people, the same camp of people. And it was, you should be livid that we did not pick up seats. You calling for your state chair to resign. This is on Dave and the leadership. Well, as the races started to shift and the same day votes started to come in, then the narrative became, well, we're winning, but it's not because of Dave. It's because of everybody else. And you need to get rid of Dave, because if Dave weren't here, we would have done better.
Yeah, yeah. Which we told Dave, right? It's like, no matter what happens, the establishment is gonna, they're gonna take all the credit no matter what happens. Dave, they
want
to
give it. I can tell you, and it's probably true of 710 Rhino KNUS. The incredible effort to blame Dave for virtually everything. Yeah. And once he wins and does better, then they go, oh no, that doesn't count. It's not for real. I mean, it's just amazing. And here's the problem though. Here's our problem. We have, in fact, increased our seats in the House, so we should do better. Senate, we haven't lost any. We won a congressman, which is critical. And quite frankly, Jeff Hurd winning. He was not expected to win. So we held another seat that looked like, you know, under Lauren Boebert, she only carried it by a few hundred votes. And here we saved that one. We won the eighth and all of those great things for the party. But it's they're not going to ever give us credit. And so we just got to give our credit ourselves. But
hooray for us. Hooray for you, Darcy.
But the other problem
Good job, guys.
The other problem is they had leadership races within each party.
Yeah.
What did the Democrats do? Progressives. It couldn't have been more far left for their Senate leadership. What do we have? We have Rhino Central. Every Rhino you can imagine. Not one even had a C on the Liberty scorecard. Not one. Who do they represent? Who do they think they represent?
Each other. And I know.
Let us
Yeah, can you comment on that? I didn't know if you wanted to or
well,
not.
Well, of course she does.
Go ahead, Julie, if you're going to say something.
Oh, God.
Well, I was just going to be
like, she stepped on it.
No, she's here speaking as part of the party.
No,
so
I can comment. And I'll be very blunt, like the several people that wanted to run for leadership reached out to me and said that they weren't able to, that they were somehow barred from running for leadership. Because I've been so tied up in the ballot carrying and everything going on in these races, I haven't really done my due diligence on that yet, but that's a question worth asking. Rose Puglisi reached out. She has said, you know, multiple times that she would really like to work more with Dave's side of the, or with our side of the party. And, you know, she's like, I don't want to be called a rhino. I don't want to be called all these names. And I'm like, well, then let's get together and have some discussions and, you know, see what and that to me,
that's good.
At least I would say that Rose Puglisi has been very open to working with this side of the party. When all of the people have been talking really badly about Dave, trying to oust Dave, she didn't participate in any of that.
That's true. She did not.
She didn't. Yeah.
So, well, and I think,
go ahead.
I was, I was going to say too, I mean, I think that's important on one hand. I mean, you know, we're winning. The reason, because we've had people reach out to us too, right? And they weren't before. And the reason they are is because we're winning. And I mean, politicians are smart, right? And I think, I mean, even we were laughing, Colorado Poll is the very liberal
media. Oh, have you
media
seen
man.
Colorado Poll?
I was telling about it. It's like, and which I hate to even talk about that.
No, they're wonderful now.
But they have this.
They're becoming the left wing runner watch or something. I don't know.
They're like, what do? You hate Dave Williams now? You know, and they're saying exactly what you said, that all of these establishment rhinos were freaking out over
Dick Bottoms,
and Dave has outperformed all of them and given all the headwinds. But I think you're right. I mean, in the spirit of doing right for Colorado, you're right. If they want to, the best way for somebody to not be called a rhino is to quit doing rhino things. That would be the first thing I would say.
Don't vote for tax increases. That's their biggest problem. The taxes is the biggest problem for some of those. Somehow.
Well, and here's the other thing for a lot of them. They're co-sponsors of every one of the ugly, awful bills.
I know.
That's a Republican co-sponsor.
I know.
It's just awful.
Somebody asked me the other day, and it was somebody from the Young Republicans. He said, well, if you think Dave was such a great legislator, because I made the argument that Dave was one of the best legislators of all time in Colorado. He said, yeah. If you think Dave was one of the best legislators, then articulate to me which bills he passed. And I was like, oh, like, I don't even know where to start with you, because the fact that you think that passing bills in a super minority of anything that gets through up there is going to be trash.
Right.
Like, we don't it's want, like, so you, we want no more bills.
Right. Exactly. So, yeah, you don't want Dave Passy.
Well, that's another thing. Now you brought it up. And just one of the big rhino organizations in the state is the Young Republicans. Now, they're not young. They're usually just in retirement age about now.
Yeah.
but they all are rhinos. You know, you never no one has any hair in the Young Republicans. They've lost it all. It's just amazing, Young Republicans, because you expect them to be, you know, pro-Trump. You expect them to be a, you know, young firebrand group. They are not. They are
established
Mitt Romney. They're young Mitt Romneys for Colorado.
Yeah. Well, I was very disheartened. And I don't want to talk badly about the Young Republicans, because I will say, you know, they were out working really hard to flip House District 16.
Right.
On a positive, they are the young bodies that are able to be out there in that cold and cure these ballots. And they have been working really hard on that. But, you know, I will say I was a little disheartened to show up at a recent Young Republicans event. And I mean, there was that group. And then the rest of it was just lifelong Colorado 70 to 80 year old politicians. And I'm like, they took over Log Cabin. Log Cabin used to.
Oh, right.
I used to love Log Cabin. I would speak there all the time. And then I said, you know, to my good friend Garrett, I'm like, they take over everything.
Yeah. Well, but here's where I am hopeful that I think that Trump had, I think back in 2016, a lot of rhinos and establishment uniparty people were like, well, it's a fluke, right? And we'll just ride it out and we'll destroy him. I think no one can say it's a fluke. I think it is clear. Well, Doug, if you're not on the Trump train right now, you're getting run over by it, right? And so I think if you're a politician and you care about the country, care about the state of Colorado, you might want to just put your petty rhino whatever's aside and say, I know that just work with the rest of the people in this country who are clearly behind the kind of platform and policies that Donald Trump, the Dave Williams, that you guys have been articulating. Quit fighting for power. You've lost. If you want to get your power, then get on the train with the rest of us.
But
otherwise, we'll run you over.
No, we won't run them over in some cases. Because you can just the same fight they're having in Colorado, where all the rhinos win all the important seats. We win all the we overcome the Democrats, but then we have to fight with the rhinos. In the U.S. Senate, they're about to have John Thune or John Corum. I mean, they're god awful. They're Mitch McConnell acolytes.
I know, but
they were supposed to say we won the Senate. We got it by 53. And who do we want the head? We want to have a younger Mitch McConnell. It's disgusting.
I totally agree. I mean, I spoke at Moms for Liberty last week, and I wasn't even planning on talking about this, but my entire speech shifted to 30 minutes on holding other Republicans accountable. Like, Sure, we want to work with everybody. You know, we want to work with everybody from Ken DeGraff to Mary Bradfield. Like, let's pull and the ones who don't vote well, let's educate them on why they're not voting well. See how we can get them to vote better. But there comes a time when we have to start holding these people accountable. So down here in the Springs, I gave a big long talk on School District 20. That's the Air Force Academy School District. Every single board member, five conservatives, was advocating for this year's tax increase. The president, Derek Wilburn's on the board. The president is another conservative, and he's allowing all the trans porn books. And when he's asked why, he's like, it's freedom of speech. And it's like, no, that's not what this is. It's that you got in there. They got in there. They got comfortable. They got bought and paid for. And they now owe favors to the developers that are going to benefit tax increase to build a new school. It's all self-protection. And I'm sorry, but if you're not going to stand up for the kids, if you're not going to stand up at the Colorado legislature, then don't run.
Right.
And if you run and you win, then we need to start coming after you.
And they don't like that, Darcy. You know, that's why they don't like people like you. They don't like people like us. They don't like people who call them out. And I agree. I mean, everybody knows I voted for Gabe Evans. I was supporting Janet Joshi. I was not.
And I can feel my hand kind of going, you got to do it. You got to do it. And so I voted for him, but it was painful.
Well, but because it's for the Americans for Prosperity Connection. And that's a thing. It's like, and I think all of these people should know, we will continue to hold. I'm glad they all won. And that's great that we're shifting red. But like you said, there's no point in winning if they're going to vote Democrat. So I think you're right. Our job now is to keep holding these people accountable. And I think when you shine a light on them and they have
that's
to exclude
scary.
Their, well, they
that's
either...
Scary.
Well, like you said, people are reaching out to you now saying, okay, hey, look, we want to work with you.
Why does reaching across the aisle?
Not reaching across the aisle.
But why does, you know, reaching across the aisle or working together always imply moving to the left? We want you to move to the left. That's what we mean by working together. What we mean by unity is not that we all come to be fight it out in the primary and then we all go behind whoever is picked. No, it means you back us. And if you don't back us, then we'll withdraw our money. Unity is a BS statement by the establishment.
No, it is. And that's what they pull every single time. When I was giving that speech, one of them showed up and she sat down right as I was talking. She, after about 10 minutes of my talking, she goes, I have a question. When are we going to go after the Democrats? Like, why are you not going after the Democrats for this tax increase? Why are you not going after the Democrats for the tranny porn in the schools? And I'm like, they're not going to listen to us. They're not weak like we are. I can't go to the Democrats and say, hey, see it my way. I can go to the Republicans that I knocked doors for, that I donated money to, that I put my blood, sweat, and tears into their elections, and I want them to do what we elected them to do.
Right. Well, and that's a good point, Darcy. The Democrats, I mean, I disagree with them, but they're doing what they were elected to do, right? I mean, and it's, so it's a similar thing. So, I think, though, this is all good news. And I think, again, just the Trump landslide victory made it clear to anyone who, and they hopefully they're all paying attention, where people in this country and in this state are. And I think, and we'll let you go because I know you got to get out there and cure more ballots, but it is, I mean, so again, to everybody, pay no attention to all of these liberals who are screaming, oh, it's a blue shift. It was not a blue shift. It was a red shift. Pay no attention to the rhinos who say, oh, it was just an accident, because it wasn't, was it, Darcy?
It was not an accident. And I don't want to blab on forever, but I think one thing that we really haven't talked about, how much did they hammer us on our messaging, on my emails, on Dave's emails, on the Cleve Simpson email? They said, we're a bigoted party. We're hateful. We're going to push everybody away. Cleve Simpson outraised his opponent by more than 90% of our Republican candidates in the House. And he beat his opponent by a much larger percentage than we thought. And now they're starting to dissect how people handled those issues at the national level. And transgender issues are right at the top.
Right.
So everybody wanted to say, bring it down. I mean, I had so many people saying, friends, even my ex said, you know what? You need to tone it down. Your messaging was too much. It was unprofessional. It was not smooth enough. You're turning the independence away.
No.
That didn't happen.
No. Well, and people like to know. I mean, people have heard enough squishy words, right? I mean, here's the thing. KBB, what did she came out for? Unicorns and puppies and affordable housing. Well, yeah. Do you know what I mean? And no one voted for her. It's like, well, that means nothing to me, right? But when you tell people, here's what I stand for, here's what I believe, and you show yourself you're principled enough to say it and to say it loud and to not back down, people are like, I support that. I mean, you know, like you said, they're winning. So,
exactly.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, Darcy, virtually all exes go, tone it down. You're getting too extreme. Just tone it down. So just don't think it's you. I mean, it's a universal thing.
It is. Yeah, I'm pretty loud. But yeah, no, I mean, so that when the core of their argument now that this is despite Dave, this the winning is despite Dave. So when, or in spite of, it's if we didn't have Dave and this leadership, we would have done better. If Darcy didn't send out those crazy emails, we would have done better. The data doesn't show that. So Right. Hate Dave all you want. Hate me all you want. Hate Hope all you want. But the message got through and it worked because our message was very clear. The state GOP's message was very clear. And if people didn't like that, we would have lost all over the place, but we didn't.
Well, and here's the thing, bottom line, because they skewed the message. The message is parental rights, right? The message is protect our children. The message is lower taxes. The message is, I mean, all of these things, don't censor our speech. It's like, who would be against that? It's like, no, well, of course the Democrats are. And again, these people, they fall for the Democrat psyop that, oh, you can't say what you actually think or believe in. You have to do what, you know, Morning Joe on MSNBC tells you.
Well, they tell you, you know, free speech doesn't mean that we shouldn't kill any speech about climate change. No. You know, the First Amendment doesn't apply to climate change. It applies to homosexual sex for first graders. Now, that's real free speech. We gotta give those little kiddies. Those kiddies want some free speech. We'll give them some free speech.
Yeah. Hey, listen, Darcy, thank you for your time.
Yeah, great job, Darcy.
Thank you for all you're doing.
Thank you, guys. All right. Let you know, Julie, what the local races look like.
Perfect, because that's particularly important. All right, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, guys. Talk to you soon.
All right, bye-bye. Thank you to Darcy. So yeah, just again, to recap, all of those media people, the rhinos that were saying, oh, it's awful. Colorado shifted blue. Colorado did not. Colorado shifted red. We won CD8. We took back Senate District 13, so preventing the Democrats from having a supermajority in the Senate. We flipped at least two seats in the House. If we flip a third, we will eliminate the House supermajority. We flipped a CD8 Board of Education, which is hugely important. I mean, and then they're, as Darcy says, they're doing county commissioner races all the way down now. So, I mean, this is huge, really. And so don't buy the, you know, the blue shift and don't buy, oh, Dave had nothing to do with it. And I would say, it's Dave, but it's the Republican Party. It's the grassroots part of the Republican Party.
Well,
you say,
it's two things.
Okay.
It's the grassroots portion of the party, and it's the national family, not family, national, what is it called? National prosperity. Americans for Prosperity.
Oh.
Americans for Prosperity poured money into various races. So if we could have that money, but none of their message about they hate tariffs and they hate building walls. You know, it'd be great because on other issues, they're okay. But those two issues, they're hideous.
Well, and you got to wonder if, because again, one of the reasons we've talked about it, Americans for Prosperity, they gave up, they backed Nikki Haley, right? They didn't want Trump. Then when they realized they were going to lose that, they thought, okay, well, we'll push for congressional races, Senate races, so we can thwart Trump at that level. But given the actual results of the election, you got to wonder. I mean, if I'm, Charles Koch, I mean, I'm not going to raise my hand and say I'm for open borders right now. No one's for open borders. Even Joe Biden isn't for open borders anymore. Well, who knows what he's for? But Kamala Harris, Morning Joe, isn't for open borders anymore, right? So it'll be interesting to see how, and again, we'll be keeping an eye on Gabe Evans, Jeff Hurd, Jeff Crank, right? Lauren Boebert too, all of them, right? Just to make sure that they do what they said they were going to do, because I think we're in an era now where people are paying attention to what politicians do and how they actually vote and are calling them out on it and hold them accountable.
Well,
and,
if you want to find Gabe Evans, and I feel better about voting for Gabe Evans from the fact that I know from now till 2 years from now, he's in a back office in Washington dialing for dollars. That's all you do if you're in a close race. You don't go to any events. You don't do anything. All you do is fundraise. So he's condemned like a Sisyphean task to just dialing. Oh, you're a new congressman. Give me a buck.
We're going to still keep getting taxes.
Yeah, give me more.
Well, anyway, though, so congratulations to Republicans all over. And I think we just wanted to set the record straight. And Darcy, I know, has been working hard. In CD8, I'll give Carl Hoops, who was the chair of CD8, credit. He was sending out emails forever saying, help us get out there and cure the ballots. Washington, D.C., the National Republican Party sent help to, maybe not the Republican Party, but the congressional seat to help. So, I mean, a lot of work went into that and it paid off. A couple updates. So this, I think, is kind of funny. You know, all of the hullabaloo about Jenna Griswold leaking the passwords and posting them on her website for 6 months. The Democrats are going to try to say, well, the election's over. You guys won. So why do you even want to look into that, right? Well, the Denver District Attorney's Office has announced they will be doing an investigation into the leaked passwords. So is that Beth McCann or is that
Beth
John
McCann.
Walsh?
No, no. It's Beth
John
McCann.
Walsh is a new one. Raise your hand. I was tweeting this. If you think that the Denver DA is going to come out against anything that has anything to do with the truth about the leaked passwords.
It's amazing they're going to do it anyway, because they already got the usual standard.
I think they're doing it.
Colorado Judiciary.
They just,
and they're like, oh, this is great. We have all these checks and balances. I'm the opinion, but it's the usual garbage. Not saying, well, there are some problems, but overall, I feel. No, it's just a litany of that the Republicans might as well not have come to court because the judge will not hear anything.
Anything
that
of
is a preconceived notion.
I wonder if I'm Jenna Griswold, I think I'm feeling kind of attacked, really. You know what I mean? I got to wonder if somebody's like, that's, we need to put the coffin or the nail in Jenna Griswold's coffin for any kind of future race and have an investigation. But I know El Paso County also talked about it. So hopefully Denver will turn it. I have more faith in El Paso County.
You know what we should have for every Friday for our Friday fun part is that time, and it's on videotape, in which Kyle Clark tells Janet Grizzle, are you going to resign? And her eyes go, Carl, resign? What do you mean resign? No, I'm not resigning. No.
I mean, here's the thing.
That's a shock. Et tu, Brute?
If there's that, and then I think the other thing is, too, is how hard would it be to investigate? There's a lot to investigate about the Colorado election system, not just because we already know how the words got put up there, right? If you want to, it doesn't take much of an investigation. Just go ask the guy or girl, whoever the employee was, who put them up there. How did you do that? Why did you do that, right?
Can't do that.
I mean, that seems a fair. I mean, I could solve that in about like 5 minutes if I had the person's phone number, right? Granted, maybe they won't talk now, but that whole thing, I guarantee you, it's going to be a whitewash, and they're going to turn around and assure us all.
But they already got the whitewash in
the
court.
Well, they did, exactly.
They want a double whitewash.
The libertarians are
we need a double whitewash.
Yeah, I'm from Charlene. They're doing it to preempt further lawsuits. So that could be. But anyway, so I would say we cannot sleep soundly at night knowing that the Denver DA's office.
We'll get
to the bottom of things.
It's the Republicans' fault.
Yeah. On other really good news, so Trump is like announcing things all over the place today. Thomas Holman, the former ICE director.
So it's just a German badass.
Oh, yeah. Is going to be the border czar. And so he doesn't have to have congressional.
Which means what?
Well, he's announcing, he's going to just start implementing Trump's immigration
policies.
But
there is no position just
Trump
like
Trump just created it.
Well, there is none called border czar. There is no
border guy, border dude.
No, you got to be director of Homeland Security, head of ICE.
No, he's skipping all that. This doesn't.
He's skipping all the. positions. And he's just going to, and Kamala kept on saying, yeah, they appointed me border czar, but what did that mean? It meant nothing.
Well, he can, he's doing it, right?
And doing what? He can't fire anybody. He can't give out any orders.
He's not, he doesn't have to go through congressional approval.
Because he's got nothing to prove.
All I'm saying is that he is announcing that they're going to start launching. And he was explaining it, like the Democrats, like mass deportations. It's like they're not rounding children up and putting them on buses, which actually might be better for the children if they could find them, given the fact that there are tens of thousands of children.
Here's another one.
Wait, let me just finish this. Because we have sound on it. He was going to, so he's talking about what he's going to do. And, you know, all of the Democrat governors and mayors are sanctimonious, saying, we will not cooperate. And he's like, fine, screw you then. So, Thomas, if we could please play the Thomas Homan video.
I've seen some of these Democratic governors say they're going to stand in the way. They're going to make it hard for us. Well, a suggestion: if you're not going to help us, get the hell out of the way, because we're going to do it. So if we can't get assistance from New York City, and we may have to double the number of agents we send to New York City, because we're going to do the job. We're going to do the job without you or with you. But it's much easier to arrest a bad guy. Like I just said, we're concentrating on public safety, threats of human and national security threat. It's much easier to arrest a bad guy in the jail. Give us access to Rikers Island that we've been kicked out of. Let us get the bad guy in the jail. It's safer for the alien. It's safer for the officer. It's safer for the community. When people are released, he was
so what he's talking about there is, like, for instance, in Denver, right? So if they arrest people, number one, they don't ask the immigration status. But if it's clear, but they could if they wanted to, right? They could run their fingerprints. They could see if they've been identified as a criminal, illegal alien felon, right? Or a criminal, rather, illegal alien criminal. But in Denver, they don't. In fact, they're prohibited from. And what he's saying is, if you've already got them in jail and you've identified them, and we know that they're a previously deported illegal immigrant who has been accused of crimes, oh, say murder or sex assault, in Denver, they just let them go. Right. But he's saying if you could just call us, we could can get them and take them home. And he's like, that would be way cheaper, safer for everybody. But he's saying, if you don't want to do that, fine. Then, fine. Then we'll just go get them anyway.
Well,
I mean,
well, here's a tip. And like most of my tips, it's never listened to. So it's going to be fair. But the word deportee sounds so awful. It sounds difficult.
Right.
It sounds, oh, that's mean. Usually it means you just go down there and spend a week with their parents and come back up. That's what deport means. But quit using the Democrat words or the bad words. It's return home.
Send them
it's
home.
The return
Turn
home
them
program.
Home. That's a
they
good
want them to self return home.
Yeah.
It's a return home program.
That's a very good.
Quit saying deport.
Good point. Good point. What is somebody there?
Can I just say one? Yeah,
sure.
Jacob.
Hey, Jacob.
During the movie Conspiracy about the extermination of the Jews, they didn't call it extermination, they called it evacuation.
There you go.
There you go.
They knew what they were doing.
Oh, that's a good point. We could evacuate. I like Chuck, send them home.
Return them home.
Sending the criminal aliens home. That's a good one, Jacob. Thank
also,
you.
Also, the another thing is that it was a clip of, I don't remember who who was testifying, but it was with our Ocasio-Cortez, and she was saying, you're separating the children, it's not fair. He says, listen, I was a cop for so many years, and if somebody was stopped for drunk driving, we separated, and there was a child in the back seat, we separated them too. It's part of the U.S. code. So,
right. And that was Homan. That was his Homan guy.
Well, when you send somebody to jail, they are separating families. They don't care.
Well, and I think, Jacob, thank you. I think
Bye.
The great thing about the send them home policies is, number one, it's going to stop a lot of people from coming. If you know you're going to be sent home, you're not going to come. Number two, if you're already here and you know you might be caught and sent home, you might just go home on your own. And again, the things like even New York saying, okay, we're not going to give you $350 a week prepaid cards for groceries, because it's not just for groceries, it's just a Visa card, right? You can buy whatever you want with it. If all of a sudden you're not going to get that, if you're not going to get free housing, I mean, there isn't going to have to be this massive people on buses being sent home.
Right.
A lot of it will just happen naturally. And the others, a lot of it, like Homan was saying, if the cities would cooperate and say, okay, we have this person. Oh, look, we know that they're wanted for murder.
Maybe
right?
we need to send them home.
Maybe we need to send them home. and we'll call ICE, and ICE will foot the bill and send them home.
ICE is part of the...
We didn't have this problem under Trump before, right? It's so it's the Biden, and maybe jokingly, but not entirely.
That was good by Jacob. Evacuation.
Evacuation.
Not extermination.
Well,
evacuation.
And again, if you know that you're going to be sent home, you're not going to come here as much. And the Democrats, I think, knowing that the Hispanics are now voting more for Trump, are going to not want to bring them in as much. Another thing that was interesting, because Trump has been issuing these little things all along about his policies. This one, I think, is great. He announced he's going to get rid of the Education Department. So
you know how many, let's see, when Tom Tancredo, okay, I think in the late 1982, Ronald Reagan said he's going to get rid of the Education Department. Every Republican has said they're going to get rid of the Education Department. No one has ever gotten rid of the Education Department. So this will be great. If he can actually get rid of the Education Department, because Tom worked for the Education Department, they were supposed to be getting rid of.
Yeah, well, I don't think we could blame this on Tom Tancredo.
No, he's a victim.
Right, he's a victim. Hey, Thomas, if we could please play the Education Department soundbite.
The thing I'll be doing very early in the administration is closing up the Department of Education in Washington, D.C., and sending all education and education work and needs back to the states. We want them to run the education of our children because they'll do a much better job of it. You can't do worse. We spend more money per pupil by three times than any other nation. And yet we're absolutely at the bottom. We're one of the worst. So you can't do worse. We're going to end education coming out of Washington, D.C. We're going to close it up, all those buildings all over the place. And you have people that in many cases hate our children. We're going to send it all back to the states. Thank you very much.
And this is from Leo. If I head to Mexico and cross back, do I qualify for all the special gifts? No, you don't. Unless you pretend like you don't have any ID. From Charlene, he needs to executive order everything and let the courts try to keep up. You know, I agree with that, Charlene. I think no mercy here. No mercy. Just, you know, again, it's like people say, well, we can't do that. It's like, just do it. Just, I mean, do you ever hear the Democrats say, well, we can't do that.
And Nancy Pelosi said we couldn't do that. Oh, we can now. Okay.
Yeah, well, the court said you can't do that. Okay, and they did it anyway.
No, they just did a slightly different one. They go, okay, can't do that program. We'll do this program.
Just executive order everything and let the courts try to keep up. And in the meantime, the country will be doing better, right? So, and then people will be like, yay, things are good again. I mean, some of the energy stuff, I mean, we've already seen it happening. And we'll have to get Robert Spencer on because I think it's happening. What did I was reading of like current world leaders, like a huge percentage of them have been voted out in recent years, right? This person's argument though is there's been this whole sort of much more of a populist, rather than a globalist shift, a populist shift, and saying that what's going on in the United States is going on in other places.
Well,
the country.
I wanted to have it. I forgot to ask you to get it, but in the Polish parliament there, everybody's going Trump, Trump, Trump. Now that's the opposition because the globalists took over things. And how many times in American history have a large section of a parliament going the U.S. president's name? Not very often.
Poland, no.
We're always told how much they hate us and everything else.
He's a hope to them too.
Yeah, he's
a hope to them too. Some of the other announcements today, I think this is a good one. Stephen Miller is going to be the deputy chief of staff. And he's like on it on immigration. And then Lee Zeldin is going to be in charge of the EPA.
That'll be good.
Yeah. And I think it's, you know, I think Elon Musk and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. are still kind of roaming around playing roles there too. So we'll see what happens there. But I think Trump
Musk is so terrifying because, you know, I just cut $2 trillion of it. And if he had 90, the rest of the world and some guy got set up and they'll just cut to, they would laugh. And with him, they would, oh my God, he probably will.
Yeah. This is from Charlene. This is from Leo. This is pretty funny. Trump needs a poster behind him in the Oval Office of Obama with a cell phone and a pen. That's right. Oh, from Dr. Donna. That's where it was when I was a child. Actually, local school districts had the main control. Absolutely, Dr. Donna. And then from Charlene, he wants to get much from Congress and the Senate. I'm afraid let Congress talk amongst themselves.
Right.
Yeah, I agree with you there, too. Hopefully he's not going to. I agree with you, Charlene. Just executive order everything. Right. Executive, because you can't trust the Senate. Congress, who knows? Right.
Well, you only have a majority of a couple of votes.
Yeah. And they're going to stall as much as possible.
Yeah.
I think the good thing we have, though, is the Democrat Party, I think right now is in such disarray. They don't have the Russia collusion. They don't have all of the things they threw up in front of him before. Now, they may try. They're going to probably continue with lawsuits. They're going to try to do all this stuff. But nobody is paying attention anymore, right?
Or else you got Mike Davis said, we're going to put our fat ass into jail.
Right.
That was a great response to Letitia James, the attorney general from New York, saying, we'll just keep on going after him. Okay. And we're going to put your fat ass in jail. And they should. And that should be the answer to it. It should be, okay, we'll fight it. Just
go down there. We'll turn around and sue you, right? Yeah, because we're the attorney general now.
Forget, do one of those special Garland raids on the house. Yeah.
Here, you know what's kind of funny, too? You would like to... it would be funny to be Christopher Wray and all the FBI agents. You hear that they're all terrified.
Well, how about James Comey? He's going... Am I safe?
No. Sure, maybe I should write another book, you know. But I think several things went down here. I think the era, well, and we'll see. But I mean, if the Obamas, I think, were shown, you know, to not have as much power as they think they have. And if you're the Democrats, you're kind of annoyed at them because you hear people saying they should have come out sooner. They shouldn't have come out sooner. If Oprah Winfrey, now we're finding out. I don't know why.
She was sharking them.
They all were.
She got $1 million from it. Hey, I support this, you know, I just want to let you know I support him. Thank you for the money. Okay.
It's like,
wow, she's
all of those celebrity people were being paid, and they're like, whoa.
If you were a celebrity person, didn't get paid, you're going, whoa.
I donated my time. Yeah, Bruce Springsteen is like, what? And they're like, well, you're a has-been, Bruce, we're sorry. Yeah. It's like,
you can't sing anyway.
You try to sleaze it off by saying, well, it went to Beyonce's production company. Well, who do you think? Yeah, it's been like saying, well, it went to Chuck, not me.
Yeah, it went to Chuck's company. Okay.
But that's so funny that they all look like not only did no one listen to them, Kamala Harris was paying, had to pay Oprah $1 million. It's like.
It went to a production company. It did go to a production company. Whoopee, of course it went to our company.
Yeah. I mean, yes, Kamala didn't write.
They didn't Oprah. Just hand $1 million to her, you know, that's a council.
She's got to launder it for tax purposes, right?
Exactly.
But it's just so funny. Even the celebrities. Were like, not only did it not work, but they've been shown to be just completely corrupt.
Oh, God.
Anyway, too. So
Lady Gaga.
And no one's listening to them.
And all of them are going, $1 million. They paid her $1 million?
She didn't do anything.
Oh,
she can't even sing. So, and Lady Gaga.
Yeah, Bruce Springsteen.
I think you're right. Some of those, you probably some of those celebrities are like, that's the last time I endorse them.
I'm getting the money up front.
But that
and some are probably going, did we get the money up front? Because they're 20 million in arrears. I mean,
right. Oh, yeah. That's what Trump says. He'll give her a loan. So,
give her a
loan. So, a lot of good news continuing to come out. And I think here in Colorado, I think what we want to do, or I want to kind of start focusing on too, is making sure just at the county levels and the precinct levels, because all of that starts coming up again next year, we have to make sure that we keep the ground that we've gained, that we keep, because the country has shown we're on the right track. You know, we're not the minority. People agree with us. And the establishments, the rhinos, the people, the paid consultant class, they don't like this and they're not going to go away quietly. So I think we need to keep all these people accountable, to keep an eye on them, point out when they do well, point out when they betray us too.
And thank Colorado polls. Wow.
Yeah, exactly. So that'll do it for us. Thank you to Darcy and all the work of the folks at the Colorado Republican Party.
Yep, it's just going to be more and more fun. So turn on Wednesday and we'll just even have even more fun.
That's right. See you guys then. Thanks, everybody.
Bye-bye.